Hello.
Will do. We appreciate Bill very much, and also keep in mind, you know, Bill played here at Pensacola High. In fact, he and I played on. We were teammates together at Pensacola High and at Florida. But Bill also is a major consultant to numerous, has been for many years, numerous administrations and college athletics, colleges as a whole, and certainly as it includes, pertains to athletics. I appreciate very much Bill taking the time to be with us when we're talking about a most appropriate subject here for his take on it, and that is all that's going on right now in college football. And I want to be careful about how I break this down, because I want to be specific about some things, but yet we've got to talk about as a whole. We've got to look at what's happening to college football. I said yesterday that this is like the perfect storm coming together to me.
Yeah.
You've got NIL, the transfer portal, the involvement with gambling. I forget the name of the group that banned something. Anyway, and now the expansion, which is above and beyond. Now, we talked about this. We talked about this 3, 4, even 5 years ago at Oklahoma and Texas. There were rumors back then, I knew from inside information, that they were playing around with SEC and vice versa. But Oklahoma and Texas now coming in are going to be, that's a huge, huge development. And I want to hold that and first talk about the NIL and the transfer portal and those things that have happened just before this, and how this is going, they are going to affect college football.
Yes, sir. Well, those are major impacts, Kay, as you have just mentioned. The names, image, and likeness, the opportunity for current student athletes who are amateur in every other way, having the chance to cash in, if you will, on that possibility of a self-promotion or a recognized promotion, could be with a group or just with an individual, just like you find with professional athletes. When we see Aaron Rodgers or some other famous quarterback or wide receiver or someone who has recognition for some skill, special skill, that is now flowing over into the college ranks, and there's a whole lot to be seen about how that's done, because nobody has the exact formula for how it's going to be done. So it's literally, we are in the very early stages of that. We're all in the learning curve, and I think that's the bottom line in terms of the NIL. We know it's here legally, but exactly how it's going to be manifest is something we have to just let time tell us by what presents itself in the television screen and in other forms of communication in our society.
Well, I agree, but there are some specific things. Listen, you can't tell me that it's already happened. I saw on the internet the other day where a high school kid has been signed by an agent for his name, image, and likeness contract.
Right.
Name, image, and likeness contract. Tell me if somebody can convince me that this is not going to be a recruiting nightmare, number one. Number two, they're going to be agents and lawyers and others, meaning some very specific professions, that are going to be involved in this with the athletes. It's not going to be pretty. And, you know, it kind of writes me to hear coaches trying to make the best of it. And I know they have to, but I hear coaches saying things like, well, it's just common sense. You know, in their free time, if they have a chance to work, we should allow them to work. Well, that's fine. They want to work at the throwing papers at the tire shop or at the grocery store or any thing like that. That's fine. I have no problem with that in their spare time. But don't use that. Spare time has nothing to do with being paid for what they represent on the football field or basketball board or whatever. And
right.
It is professionalism at its best. And you know what really strikes me is that this should be the bastion of integrity and amateurism, and as we've always known in college athletics. And it's not. It's professionalism now. I don't care how you cut the pie. That's what it is. And you can come up with all these common, you want to call it common sense, that's fine. But common sense also tells you something else. This is going to be much bigger and much worse, Bill, I project, than anybody ever thought.
Well, I cannot argue with you, Kay, because number one, we've never been here before as an industry, as a sports industry, where amateurs can do this type of activity. I mean, the Olympic amateur athletics has had names, image, and likeness for a dozen years or more, but that's a whole different thing because we're not recruiting against each other. In Olympics, you know, you have your native country, and that's who you compete for. And although there is some movement, if you will, in that regard between one country and another, because some people might have a dual citizenship, that's not the major thrust of the industry. But in intercollegiate athletics, the whole impact on recruiting, as you appropriately commented a minute ago, that's going to be so significant, where a kid who is from one state might get an offer from an automobile dealership in another state or from a company that's headquartered somewhere else, and they're willing to pay him or her. In most cases, it will be him, but there will also be some females in some particular sports that will have the high profile, but it'll mainly be basketball for men and football. That's where the most notoriety and the most dollars will come. And so the only way to understand what's going to happen there is to experience it, and that's literally what we're tiptoeing into right now. Kay, is that initial year, that initial circumstance of names, image, and likeness, and every day is going to be a learning experience for everyone in the business, whether you're a head coach, whether you're a student athlete, whether you're an attorney, or whether you're an athletic director or a fan, a merchant in town. It's all going to be new experience, and we'll know a whole lot more a year from now than we do at this moment with regard to how it's going to be handled.
Yeah, just one more note on this NIL thing. To me, this was never, ever a part of, and some people want to try to make this look like this should be what was intended. But college athletics would never, never intended this to be a revenue source for people to come to school and create a revenue stream for themselves via football, basketball, gymnastics, or anything else. Doesn't matter. You know, when the first football game between Harvard, I think it was Harvard, Princeton, or whoever, but they got together and said, hey, we'll take our guys and we'll meet your guys on a certain place, we'll play a game, football game. Never was it ever intended to be something that would develop a revenue source for. But anyway, as in here to there, this is something we're going to have to bear witness to, unfortunately. Now let me jump to another big one here. Let's jump to the Oklahoma-Texas what this is going to mean. This is just the tip of the iceberg. But talk to me a little bit. I know you had some deep feelings about this and where it's going to go.
Well, I think the whole situation of the college football playoff is really what this big picture is going to be. And the configuration, I have specific predictions, and that doesn't mean they're accurate. But the question in my mind is the college football playoff right now involves 65 teams, 64 that are in the Power Five conferences, plus Notre Dame. And, of course, Notre Dame has a unique relationship with the ACC. And this past season they had a temporary circumstance where they participated in the 2020 season temporary member of the Atlantic Coast Conference. So they competed for the championship. They didn't win it, but they competed for it. And that's the first time Notre Dame's ever competed for a football championship. Notre Dame's other sports have been in conferences, but football has always been an independent otherwise. But the situation is such that what is going to happen with the future of the college football playoff? We've got a pretty good idea that they're going to go to 12 teams, but how many schools are going to be participating in that? Right now, all of FBS is participating in the college football playoff. They are participants only in the sense that they don't try to go for a different championship other than the same one that Alabama competes for almost every year. Alabama and Clemson, of course, Ohio State, those few schools that are in that mix right now. But the bottom line is all those other schools are getting paid significant millions of dollars in order to not have their own FBS championship with the Group of Five, for example. Every now and then there's talk about that, but the fact is the Group of Five could not generate those dollars. So that's one of the decisions that's got to be made consciously in the next iteration of the of the college football playoff. Is it going to continue that way, or is that going to change in some way? Is that going to be adjusted? And I think that the Oklahoma and Texas move to the SEC strengthens the circumstance for the Group of Five to stay in that college football playoff configuration, because the money is going to increase so much, even though they don't have a chance to really be a national champion at Tulane or Tulsa or any school that is in the Group of Five, they can't make up the money financially in the marketplace, and so they're going to have to stand pat. But that's just my opinion. I don't think they're going to be able to go off and have their own Group of Five national championship.
All right. Well, you know,
I think they're going to have to stay with. They're going to have to stay with the college football playoff, which, you know, is going to have the 12 members. So the Group of Five schools will have a greater chance, but it still won't be much of one.
Yeah, and I'm not a big believer in 12 team playoff. I think that's too many.
I understand, and it's going to require them to play 17 games, which is a huge inventory of postseason football. That's enormous. They're going to have to play. They're going to have to go all the way up to 17 games in a regular season. Well, not a regular season, but in a full season that includes the championship playoff.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is too, I don't think you can get great consensus on the top 10. It's hard to get. I think 8 would be the number. That's just my feeling. Okay.
I think the competition between it's a tough decision to make, but I think that the demand politically and financially is such that they will go officially with the college football playoff at 12 schools. I don't think they've officially made that decision yet, but it's my prediction that that's what they're going to do, and I share your concern about going to too many games, which, you know, 17 football games in a football season, that's getting very close to the NFL.
Yeah.
Very close.
Just one other quick thing. One other quick thing here, Bill, and I'll let you go. Appreciate your time. But, you know, this opens the door, I think, a weak conference is the ACC, in my opinion, because of the number of teams that they have that are just nondescript, if you will. But it wouldn't shock me to see the SEC go after Clemson, Florida State, those two in particular, maybe to include North Carolina and Miami. I don't know where they go there. But it wouldn't shock me to see Clemson and Florida State become targets.
Well, I think that's always a possibility. I believe that ultimately what's going to determine that, Kay, is how is the college football playoff championship game going to be best determined? Is it going to be to stay with the 12 teams with the larger inventory, or would it be to take a smaller group of those current Power 5 schools, which includes, of course, the SEC, and that current number in those five conferences is 65 schools, including Notre Dame, like I mentioned. But not all of those schools are as strong financially as some others, like Texas and Oklahoma. They are the super strongest, and the two that you just mentioned from the ACC, Clemson and FSU, for example, those are two of the strongest competitively and financially. And will they be willing to stay in the Atlantic Coast Conference, or will they be willing to go with the stronger SEC? I think that's a possibility, but I think it remains to be seen as to how the institutions feel about that overall. I'm not at all surprised that Texas and Oklahoma have done what they're doing, but I would be more surprised to see Clemson do it than I would FSU. I think FSU would be more open to that SEC configuration than Clemson would be, but that's just my personal opinion. That's just an assessment of my own making. But all of these things over the next 2 years, I think what this all points to, Kay, is a expedited timeline for what's going to happen in the next decade. I look at the decade of the 2020s, from 2020 to 2029, as the decade of transition for intercollegiate athletics. We've already had almost 2 years. We've had a year and a half so far in the 20s, and we had COVID-19 that has pushed us and continues to push us with this new iteration of the variant, and it's pushing us into all kinds of things we wouldn't have ever considered in many aspects of higher education, including athletics and competition. And I think that...
Right.
By the end of this decade, college athletics is going to be hard to recognize in many ways. And amateur athletics, NIL, all of the things we've talked about, amateur competition and compensation, legalized sports betting, transfer portal, so many things are going to be different just 7 or 8 years from now. We just all have to button our chin straps and hang on for a bumpy ride, because it's going to be so different at the end of this decade.
You bet. Well, Bill, listen, we're going to have to run. I apologize for keeping you on here this long, but thanks very much, and we look forward to having you on here again. Not